Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, and we are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. So last night, the OKC Thunder won the NBA title. Congratulations to them. Again, I told you, I think SGA, he had a Michael Jordan-like season, and this is coming from somebody who loves Michael Jordan. Reed, you love Michael Jordan. I know you do. But when you look at what SGA accomplished this year, winning the MVP, the scoring title, the finals MVP, etc., that was a Michael Jordan-like season, right?
He accomplished something that Michael Jordan accomplished.
It was a Michael Jordan-like season.
He accomplished the same thing that Michael Jordan accomplished. Did he accomplish it in the same way?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying he's Michael Jordan or anything like that.
It sounds like you're saying he's Michael Jordan. It sounds like you're agreeing with Stephen A. again, and you're saying that SGA is the next Michael Jordan.
I am not saying that.
Okay, then stop saying his name in conjunction with Michael Jordan. They accomplished the same thing. They did not accomplish it in the same way.
If he does this like four times, then we can start talking about him and Michael Jordan.
I don't know if he does it four times because he's playing in a weaker league.
It's not the same.
Joe Rexrode, the NBA today sucks. You know it sucks. Stop stumping for whoever you're stumping for. It's not the same game. It's not the same league. It's a terrible product. The athletes are better. They're more athletic. They're fabulous. But it's not the same game.
Well, congratulations to SGA. But I think somebody yesterday punched a ticket into the Basketball Hall of Fame, which admittedly is not the hardest Hall of Fame in the world to get into. If I had to be completely frank with you, Tony Kukoc, for instance, is in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Now, I think that has more to do with their international program than it does anything else. But again, it's Tony Kukoc. But Sam Presti, the general manager of the Thunder, I think punched a ticket into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And I'm going to tell you, what he did in OKC could not have worked anywhere else in the country. And it could not have even worked here for the Tennessee Titans. And I'll tell you why. Sam Presti's first pick as general manager of the then Seattle Supersonics was Kevin Durant. That's how long ago it was. They won the lottery and they knew they were going to either get Greg Oden or Kevin Durant. When you're picking number two and it's a 1-2 draft, you know, well, I'm getting the other guy. And that's what they knew. But it wasn't just that they stopped at Durant. Because the next year, they didn't have the first overall pick. They drafted Russell Westbrook. The next year, they drafted James Harden. And with that group, Durant, Harden, and Westbrook, he drafted three Hall of Famers 3 years in a row. And they got to the finals in 2012. And then after Harden left, they couldn't come to a contract agreement. Harden leaves. That team with Durant and Westbrook, they were right there when they lost to Golden State in 2016. They were right there. The same way I keep telling people about the Maple Leafs, you were right there and you lost to a wagon in Florida, but you were right there. Does anybody know what happened to OKC after Kevin Durant left? They were completely irrelevant for 3 years. They tried with Russell Westbrook as their kind of focal star, and they acquired Paul George, and they went out and got Carmelo Anthony, but they were irrelevant. For 3 years. They tried. And then they blew the team up. Goodbye, Paul George. Goodbye, Russell Westbrook. Hello, SGA. Hello, draft picks. Hello, losing. And with that, they were able to draft Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams. Give it some time in the microwave to cook. Hello, championship. That would have never ever happened in New York or Philly or LA, where after taking a swing at it with Westbrook and George and Carmelo didn't work, and the fans and local talk radio and Stephen A. Smith would have been losing their minds and calling for Sam Presti's head. Even though Presti was the guy who was smart enough to draft Durant, smart enough to draft Russell Westbrook, smart enough to draft Harden, smart enough to draft Serge Ibaka. I guess he must have gone stupid, right? That's what they would have said if he was the general manager in Philadelphia. Not OKC, Philadelphia. They would have said, oh, he's a bum, he sucks. And that wouldn't even fly here. And you want to know why I know it wouldn't have flown here in Tennessee? Because I saw this, and so did you. When Bud Adams fired Floyd Reese, I feel like the real chance this franchise had at winning the Super Bowl got flushed down the toilet. Now, yes, I'm biased. My son's middle name is Reese. But you guys heard Floyd on the radio, and you remember the teams that he built. And there's a reason why Bill Belichick brought him in to be the number two in New England. You know he didn't forget how to run a team. When Floyd Reese was the general manager of the Tennessee Titans, he was smart enough to draft Steve McNair and Eddie George and Javon Kearse and Derek Mason and Samari Roll and Albert Haynesworth, etc. They built a team that went to the playoffs 4 out of 5 years, went to a Super Bowl, went to 2 AFC title games, won 2 divisions, and had 1 year the best team in all of ball. They built a defense that was so good that that 2000 Ravens defense, which people compare to the 85 Bears, was actually the number two defense in the NFL that year because the Titans were number one. But you know what the major difference between OKC and the Tennessee Titans is? Clay Bennett, the owner of the OKC Thunder, he was a partner with the Spurs when Sam Presti was in his 20s. And he watched the authority that then general manager R.C. Buford and then head coach Greg Popovich gave Sam Presti. They didn't just hire him because he was doing well with the Spurs. The owner of the then Supersonics saw this guy running a team, and he said, this guy knows ball. And he hired him. And after they had their success, they got to the NBA Finals. They were knocking on the door with Durant and Westbrook. And then Durant left. He didn't fire Sam Presti. He didn't fire it when it didn't work with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony because they were trying to build a team around Westbrook. They let the guy who built the team the first time build it back the second time. The Titans let Floyd Reese draft Vince Young, but they didn't let him see it through. There was a succession plan in place. McNair was on board. Vince Young was on board. Jeff Fisher was on board. Floyd Reese was on board. Bus Cook, who was the agent for both Steve McNair and Vince Young, was on board. But Bud Adams went crazy, and they locked Steve McNair out of the building, and poof, there went the succession plan. Vince Young won Rookie of the Year, and they fired Floyd. And I asked him, I said, Floyd, whatever happened to Vince Young? He was a bust. He said, all I know is when I was here, he was Rookie of the Year, and he was headed to the Pro Bowl. One time, it was during a commercial break. Floyd was staring out the back window of the studio, and I said, hey, Floyd, if you had fired Jeff Fisher, who would you have hired? And, you know, with Floyd, if I'd asked him out on the radio, he would have sidestepped it. He would have never. But every now and then you'd ask him a question like that, he'd give you an answer. And he was looking out the window and he said, well, I guess I probably would have hired Nick, i.e. Nick Saban. And the feeling that I had when he said that was I had considered it at the time. And considering that Nick and Floyd had worked together and were good friends and had mutual respect, that was not a shock. By the way, you're going to say, well, Nick Saban was no good with the Dolphins. Right, when Nick Saban was in charge of the organization. But if Floyd Reese was picking the players and Nick Saban was coaching them, I'd like to take my chances with an NFL team with Nick Saban. And so I'm not saying that Floyd would have done what Sam Presti did, which is he built a team that was good enough to win the title. Again, if you get to the NBA Finals and if you get to Game 7 where you're right there against Golden State, you're good enough to win the Finals if the ball, as Rand Carthon would say, bounces your way. The Titans were good enough to win the Super Bowl. They lost the first one by a yard. The second one was just a complete and total abomination of a playoff game against the Ravens at home. I thought they could have won it in 2002 as well. Fumbles by Robert Holcomb and John Simon really doomed them there. Drew Bennett dropped the ball in 2003. Again, the bounce of the ball, where the margins actually are tiny. I'm not saying Floyd would have won the Super Bowl if given the opportunity to rebuild the Titans, the same way that Sam Presti was given the opportunity to rebuild the Thunder. But it should be noted, Floyd got fired after 2006. In 2008, the Titans were 13-3 and had the number one record in the AFC, with guys making the Pro Bowl and were all pros that he had signed, like Kyle VandenBosch and Kevin Mawai and Chris Hope and Kerry Collins. And guys he drafted, like Albert Haynesworth and Keith Bullock and Cortland Finnegan. They had the best team in the NFL that year. And again, Jeff Fisher couldn't get them over the top. But I look back at what happened with Floyd, and I always keep thinking, what could have been? And this is coming from somebody who, even before I knew Floyd, I remember being a junior in high school in the kitchen of our old house, talking to my dad about, I don't like getting rid of Floyd Reese, because I felt like, as fans, we kind of felt there was tension between he and Jeff Fisher. And it was like, I think that tension was good, and now they're going to hire some yes man to Fisher. And that's exactly what happened. And that's why you can't win the Super Bowl. You had a general manager that coached, that built your team from the worst team in the NFL into AFC championship game and two division titles and headed for a third and won 61% of his games, and you didn't let him build it back up. Fired him less than a year after being the number one seed in the AFC playoffs. Fired him. There's a reason why this team has never won a Super Bowl. And there's a reason why OKC did yesterday. Because their owner went all in on Sam Presti. He rewarded him once. The owner realized this guy did not forget how to evaluate players. They blew it up. They loaded up on draft picks. They traded for SGA. And congratulations to Sam Presti, who will one day go up to Massachusetts and be inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And there's one other element to this that I do wonder. Does what Sam Presti did, does this change your opinion on something that I feel like a lot of you really don't like when it comes to the NFL? We'll hit on that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
You know, this has been a process, like 5-6 years to get to this point. Remember Chet Holmgren. As soon as they got him, he got hurt in that summer All-Star game that he was playing in. He's had a hip injury. You know, he's obviously injury prone here. But you're getting guys and you're going, okay, nobody wants Alex Caruso. We'll take him. Lou Dort. Who? Jalen Williams. Who? I mean, come on. Guy went to Santa Clara. That's where you look at scouting. That's where you look at what you do in, you know, down in the lab. And that's what OKC has done, a wonderful job. And it starts with Sam Presti.
There you go. That was Dan Patrick today talking about Sam Presti, the general manager. Again, I think he's punched his ticket to the Hall of Fame. So I just looking at OKC over the years. And OKC, after Kevin Durant left, and again, they went to 7 games, and it was a thriller between OKC and Golden State. But they went to 7 games and lost to Golden State, and then Durant jumped ship in what was, I think, one of the biggest loser moves in recent sports history by Durant going to Golden State. The next year with Russell Westbrook, they made the playoffs, lost in the first round. The next year, they lost in the playoffs. They had Paul George. They had Carmelo Anthony, but they lost in the first round of the playoffs. The next year, they lost in the first round of the playoffs. Then they lost in the first round of the playoffs, and then they blew it up. Goodbye, Billy Donovan. Goodbye, Russell Westbrook. Goodbye, all those guys. And we're starting over. No Russell Westbrook. No Carmelo Anthony. No Paul George. But they got a bunch of picks. They got SGA. They got a bunch of players to build around. Again, they've developed guys like Lou Dort. Didn't make the playoffs. Didn't make the playoffs the next year. Didn't make the playoffs the next year. 3 years of not making the playoffs. Then they got back. They lost last year in the conference semis to Dallas. And this year, they won the championship. And I remember during the year, when it came to the Titans, and we were talking about a general manager search, and we were talking about firing the general manager, and I kept saying, I want one of these veteran, experienced GMs that has done some winning. I want that guy to be the next general manager of the Titans. Why? Because Amy Adams Strunk has no idea how to build a football team, and she has no idea how to evaluate whether or not somebody has the ability to build a football team. But if you take a guy like Thomas Dimitroff, or you take a guy like Rick Spielman, who has built up a football team before, I know they can do it because they've already done it. And everybody was like, I don't know, Jared, Rick Spielman in Minnesota, they didn't win the Super Bowl. They only got to the AFC, to the NFC title game. He only drafted Justin Jefferson and Christian Darrisaw. I don't know if that's good enough for me. And I would say, you people are so stupid when you talk like that. But I think that's really how the NFL, the owners work too. And what'd you go do? You hired some guy from the Chiefs. Who knows if he's any good? I have no idea. You interviewed Thomas Dimitroff. He didn't even get a second interview. This is a guy who built up the Atlanta Falcons to where they had a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl. Again, the general manager can't win the game for you, but he can build a great team. And Dimitroff built a great team in Atlanta. He didn't get lucky. He was the GM there for like a decade. Went to two NFC title games. And yet, the fans and the owners of that league, they do not like hiring guys that have had a little bit of success. Do you think the Indianapolis Colts regret hiring Bill Polian after he didn't win the Super Bowl in Buffalo? They only went to four. After he didn't win the Super Bowl in Carolina, they only went to an NFC title game as an expansion team. No, I don't think they do. Which, again, I'm not putting this on you people the way I put a lot of things on you people, because it's these moron owners. I mean, look at Jacksonville. Jacksonville went out and hired a 12-year-old to be their general manager who makes a stupid trade on draft night and then sounds like a freaking bozo at the press conference. Would Sam Presti have ever done that? This is what I'm talking about. You knew Sam Presti could build up a basketball team because he had already done it. And even though they didn't win the championship, and even though they had tried to rebuild around Westbrook and they got knocked out of the first round of the playoffs every time, it wasn't as if this guy didn't know how to evaluate talent and didn't know how to run a team. And here they are on the parade route today. When is Jacksonville going to go on theirs? You've been a franchise now for damn near 65 years. You've never won a Super Bowl. Why? Because you keep hiring Rand Carthon. No, no, no. No need for a general manager with experience and success. We don't want that. And look, every general manager is going to have a hiccup along the way. It's a tough job. It's like when it comes to John Robinson, I do not understand why NFL teams, and I feel the same way about Spielman, although he's now a senior advisor with the Jets. I feel the same way about Dimitrov. I'm like, why do NFL teams think that this 12-year-old for Jacksonville from the Rams is going to be slam dunk better than the guy that won 61% of his games in Tennessee? Well, Jared, he traded A.J. Brown. Right, and guess what? When faced with it next time, he's probably not going to do that. Again, I asked Floyd one time, I said, what lessons do you think you learned from the Patriots? And he listed them off. And yet he never got another shot. John Dorsey, in the last decade, has been the general manager of a team that has drafted quarterbacks in the first round. Granted, I think it was an Andy Reid pick in 2017, but he was the GM. Baker Mayfield the next year. I think Baker Mayfield's pretty good. John Dorsey is an advisor for the Detroit Lions. I think they're doing things pretty well. But instead, everybody just wants that guy from the Chiefs because they convince themselves that he's the reason that they ended up winning 3 Super Bowls. So they're just like, oh, he's the guy. When again, Amy and Burke Nihil and Chad Brinker have no way of knowing what in the hell he did for the Chiefs and what in the hell he didn't do for the Chiefs. Just like they had no idea what Rand Carthon did for the 49ers, which apparently seems like nothing. Because when Rand Carthon got here, you want to know what he did? Nothing. But I guess if you don't win the title right away, you suck. And even though OKC's guy's now been there, again, his first pick was Kevin Durant. He was the general manager of the Supersonics at 29 years old. But I guess he sucked until yesterday. One texture into the text line's all worked up. He said, we have a way better chance at a Super Bowl if we can flush the last bit of poop and let Mike Borgonzi do his thing. And then highlights that the last bit of poop he was referring to was Chad Brinker. Again, you know, Brinker hired Borgonzi. So if you think Brinker's so good, then you have to, or if you think Borgonzi's so good, then you have to give Brinker his credit. I'm not the biggest Brinker guy in the world, but we shall see. I mean, I think Brinker is a symptom of what I don't like about all this, which, again, is that Amy doesn't have a clue. Doesn't have a clue. One text says, John Robinson never knew how to evaluate players. He got lucky early, then everything after that was pitiful. His decisions about coaches were terrible as well. Well, again, I'm going to push back on this. And then you people are going to say, you just have your mouth on John Robinson's cojones. And I'm going to say, so by saying that, hey, in his first draft, he drafted 3 All-Pros, which is a fact, I'm taking up for him. You know, Derrick Henry is going to go to the Hall of Fame. And he drafted him. So he got lucky on Conklin, with whom he traded up to draft. He got lucky with Conklin, Henry, and Byard. And he got lucky with Simmons and A.J. Brown, and Nate Davis, and Amani Hooker, and Jonnu Smith. He got lucky with all those guys. That's what you're telling me. And you're also telling me that his decision about coaches were, you're telling me that Mike Vrabel, the great Mike Vrabel, you're telling me that that was a bad decision when everybody around the country takes their pants off when they talk about the Patriots because of the great Mike Vrabel. Now, I'll say this. I thought that was a risky decision, and I think it was a bad decision to move off of Mularkey. I thought it was completely unfair, and I thought Mularkey was a good coach, and I just don't believe in firing good coaches when you have them. But it's not like he went out there and hired Brian Callahan, who, again, I don't know if you can hold a single person in that building accountable. You people. Again, you people probably would have fired Sam Presti. Well, he went out and added Paul George. He sucks. Instead of giving him the opportunity that he earned by building it up the first time at OKC and letting him do it again. Howie Roseman built it up the first time. Now the Chip Kelly thing was a little weird. And then they let him build it up again. I mean, it's a joke. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in here on the program, Mike from PA says, can't use Henry for J-Rob. He picked someone else ahead of him in the second round, someone who was a massive bust and had to be talked into Henry. He actually took two players ahead of taking Derrick Henry. But I guess by that logic, nobody gets credit for Tom Brady either because they picked five players before him. That's not how this works. You get credit for the guys you pick and you get blamed for the guys you pick that don't work out. I mean, from what I was told, and I don't give John Robinson this kind of credit. I don't. From what I was told was Vrabel and Arthur Smith loved Isaiah Wilson. And they picked him. But I hold that against Robinson. Because at the end of the day, he was the general manager. It's as simple as that. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number. Speaking about Callahan, there was something that went down on Friday when I was off that just set me off. And we'll get to it next. And it's not about what happened as much as it is to me what it represents. We'll get to that next. I'm going to company 1025, 106 of the game.
Potential grand jury indictment hanging over his head. It would seem sure. That would be something that would affect the guy coming to work. What have you seen from him, and how is that have a bearing?
You know, the things about Legarius is that when he's here and working, he's fantastic. He's all the things that we hope he would be. Certainly when guys have off-field issues, he's not the first one. He won't be the last. There's a lot of guys that have things going on outside of the building that maybe aren't into public knowledge, or they're dealing with things with their families. There's a lot of things that happen that just like all of us, you know, you have to separate your personal life and your work life and be able to come to work and focus on the task at hand. I think he's done a good job of that. Certainly anytime you have distractions off the field, you prefer not to have those. But he's done a good job of handling it and keeping, you know, the work here the main thing, and dealing with the things off the field when he has to deal with them. But I would say that's not unique to anybody in particular. I think that happens to a lot more guys than people realize. Again, maybe not necessarily civil cases or court cases, but just life in general. It can be hard to separate sometimes, and I think he's done a good job of it.
Legarius Sneed's done a great job, other than the fact that, you know, he got into an alleged shooting of a car dealership during the season last year. But outside of that, he's great. He doesn't play in any of the games, doesn't practice. But other than that, he's great. Brian Callahan ball, baby. So I saw a deleted tweet on Friday, and I'm telling you, this set me off. And I was going to fire off a tweet about this on Friday, but I decided, you know what? I'm going to save it for the show. Did you guys happen to see Jarvis Brownlee Jr.'s deleted tweet? So one of these football aggregators put out a video of Anthony Richardson rapping. I have no idea when Anthony Richardson filmed this. It's a bad look for Richardson, let me say that. But Anthony Richardson, I guess, is a rapper, which again is embarrassing. And Jarvis Brownlee sent out a tweet, Indy on the clock for that BS, and then he would later delete it. And I saw that, and I could not believe the stones on Jarvis Brownlee Jr. And I'm not mad at Jarvis Brownlee Jr. By all accounts, Jarvis Brownlee Jr. is a good man. I've talked to a lot of people at Louisville that when he played there, I mean, they have nothing but good things to say about Jarvis Brownlee Jr. But where does Jarvis Brownlee Jr. get this idea that he can talk the talk? Jarvis Brownlee Jr. has never beaten Anthony Richardson. He's 0-1 against him. And the Titans are 0-4 against the Colts since Anthony Richardson was drafted. Indy on the clock for that BS. Ha, ha, ha. You told them. By the way, Jarvis Brownlee's PFF grade, it's not exactly like he was Deion Sanders out there. He was 59.4, which was good for 131st out of qualifying corners last year. So maybe Jarvis Brownlee Jr. should worry about Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and not worry about Anthony Richardson. But this isn't about Brownlee and what Brownlee did, because that is a symptom. My problem is the cause. To me, this speaks to the biggest bone that I have to pick with the Titans and their culture. which is led by Jeffrey, I've always got an excuse, Simmons, that you can be on the worst team and you can have the worst stats and you can still talk all day because results apparently don't actually matter around here. You don't have to earn the right to be able to talk on the Tennessee Titans. You just have to show up. And if anybody questions your credentials to be able to criticize others, well, I hate to say it, but you're just a hater. Because everybody that you'll encounter around that facility will act like you're a good football player. They'll kiss your ass. They'll tell you how great you are. They'll film a 6-part docuseries about you. And they'll ignore everything negative surrounding you and your football team. And there's nobody over there that apparently can look at this team and say, hey, boys, you're the worst team in football. Maybe you guys should shut the hell up and worry about yourselves. Maybe you should worry about completing passes and not about documentaries. Maybe you should worry about beating a double team instead of trying to go to the media to explain how they work. But that's not what happens when it comes to Brian Callahan's Tennessee Titans. And this all goes back to my biggest criticism of Callahan. And that is, I don't believe that when it is warranted, that he can put a foot up somebody's ass. And I don't think he's going to put a foot up somebody's ass. And when the coach won't do that, again, we can call it however we want to hold people accountable. When the coach won't do that, it allows losing to be okay. It allows passing the buck to be okay, which is happening way too much around here. Last year, Denard Wilson got up there and with a straight face told people that when we start heating up, Arden Key will start heating up, which led Paul to ask Denard Wilson, isn't Arden supposed to be one of the guys that gets this team to heat up? And with a straight face, Denard Wilson said he will, and he did not. This team has a terrible culture. This coach, and I hope he proves me wrong, I really do, but I am afraid that he does not have the stones to be a head coach in the National Football League. I'm being honest. I think he's soft, and I think he lets the players over there get away with whatever they want to. And I think he patronizes the players, and I think he patronizes the coaching staff, and I just think these guys think that they're, almost said a word I should have said, that their poop doesn't smell. And it's all because Brian Callahan won't sit down with them and explain to them that it does. Everything there is done the nice way. Instead of telling somebody, hey, if you don't do this right, you won't play. We give guys chance after chance after chance after chance. I bet Brian Callahan broke down in tears when they decided to fire Colt Anderson. Because the way you'd listen to Brian Callahan talk about Colt Anderson, it was as if he was a great coach last year. Even though we've seen the special teams and we were accustomed to horrible special teams because we saw it under Craig Aukerman. But we saw the special teams sink to levels that I've never seen before last year. But again, Callahan can't stick his foot up anybody's ass. He won't do it. He cannot do it. He's too nice. This is the NFL. This is not daycare. And when I see Jarvis Brownlee Jr. again, the 131st corner in the National Football League, talking smack about another player in the division, another team in the division, a team that they did not beat last year, and they have not beaten in some time, I think to myself, only on the Titans, where Brian Callahan never says a bad thing about anybody, never tells anybody something they don't want to hear, where Jeffrey Simmons, I mean, somebody in the text line said this last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was with the minicamp stuff. It's like these coaches, they talk about Jeffrey Simmons like they work for him. I mean, Denard Wilson patronizes Simmons. Callahan patronizes Simmons. Tracy Rocker patronizes Simmons. Simmons didn't show up at all. And they're like, oh, no, no, no. Even though he's not here, he's here. What the hell does that mean? They're all a bunch of losers. And they're led by the chief loser, Callahan. And I wasn't going to say that. I mean, you know me. I've really been disappointed with Brian Callahan's lack of holding people accountable over the last 18, 20 months. But I think the Jarvis Brownlee thing, who the hell is Jarvis Brownlee Jr.? I think the Jarvis Brownlee Jr. thing was the thing that finally pushed me over the edge. Callahan's a loser. And as much as I'm rooting for him, the more it's hard not to smell the coffee that this guy cannot build a winning culture because he doesn't know the first thing about a winning culture. And I think that's because he's just not a winner. I hope he proves me wrong, but I think I've seen enough. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. We'll get to your phones on this. Plus, there's another thing I do want to say about this Anthony Richardson thing. Again, the rapping video, just so it's not like, Jared, you love Richardson. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, before we get to your phones, I do want to say, as I went off on Jarvis Brownlee Jr. talking trash about Anthony Richardson's rap video, I did see the Anthony Richardson rap video. Many of you tweeted it to me. I did not listen to it because I do not care. Let me say this, though. As an Anthony Richardson supporter, though I do think he's going to end up being a bust, and I think Indy's partly responsible, I don't like it. I don't need to see Anthony Richardson get a back tattoo. I don't need to see Anthony Richardson. If you care so much about rapping and tattoos, then go do that. Don't play football. If he was quarterback of the Titans, I'd go nuts. And I'm not saying don't have hobbies outside of work. We all have hobbies outside of work. But your public persona needs to be about your public life. And when you're getting back tattoos that take all day and you have to be put under, and you're putting out rap videos, it makes you look like you're not paying attention to your job. And I don't think quarterbacks can lead like that. I don't know what CJ Stroud's hobbies are, and I don't care. Let me just say this. Titan fans can't exactly have it both ways. You can't make fun of Richardson, whom you've never beaten, by the way, and then get mad at me for bringing up Cam Ward's docuseries. In both cases, it seems like somebody who's more focused on attention than they are football. And before you get mad at me about the fact that Cam Ward's docuseries is about football, let me ask you this. When does Jaden Daniels' documentary come out? Oh, yeah, he didn't have one. Got it. Can't have it both ways. Billy is up next here on the program. Billy, thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. You go ahead.
Hey, I'm tracking with you completely on the culture for the Titans. But I would like to offer a conspiracy theory, if I will. Everybody loves conspiracy theory, right?
Right, okay. Program for it.
Okay, so, you know, it's well documented Nashville is a destination city for a lot of football fans for opposing teams because of the hospitality, the relatively low prices. There's a pretty good chance you're going to win when you come here. So why go to a really good team and spend your one trip a year going to them when you can come to Nashville and then pretty much have a more than 50-50 shot of winning.
But Billy, if you're suggesting that the Titans hired Brian Callahan to lose on purpose so that visiting fans would come here?
No. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting that the owners of the team have enough other interests for hotels and bars and everything, and they really don't care if the Titans win because win, lose, or draw, that stadium's going to be full. It may be three-quarters full of the
opponents. If the Titans didn't care, and I appreciate your call, if the Titans didn't care about winning or losing, then why would they fire the general manager every 6 months? I mean, I get it. I want them to win too. I get it. I think the owner has done some really stupid stuff. I mean, really stupid stuff. I mean, dangerously incompetent stuff. But I don't think it's because they're not trying. I think it's because they don't know what they're doing. That's just me. Mike says, Callahan's response about Legarius Sneed was both outrageous and unacceptable. I don't understand how hard it is for Brian Callahan to say, when asked the question, can we get that cut again there, Reed, where Paul asks him about Snead's focus, given the fact that he's got a potential grand jury indictment hanging over his head, and Callahan, who basically is like, you know, all guys have issues in their personal life, but he's handled it great.
Potential grand jury indictment hanging over his head. It would seem sure. That would be something that would affect the guy coming to work. What have you seen from him, and how does that have a bearing?
You know, the things about Legarius is that when he's here and working, he's fantastic. He's all the things that we hope he would be. Certainly when guys have off-field issues, he's not the first one. He won't be the last. There's a lot of guys that have things going on outside of the building that maybe aren't into public knowledge, or they're dealing with things with their families.
All right, that's enough of that. Is it too difficult to ask, you know, Callahan to at least say, like, hey, you know, Legarius is dealing with his own personal stuff. We don't really talk about that as far as football's concerned. But we as a team want our guys to make the right decisions, and we're disappointed when guys don't. And for Legarius, we had high expectations when we acquired him, and I think he'd be the first to tell you that they haven't been met yet. But we're optimistic that they will be. How hard is it to at least just show a teensy bit of displeasure? Vrabel did it with Stephon Diggs. Vrabel said after that video came out, we want our guys to make the right choices. And I had a talk with him because I talked to all the players, and we talk about making the right choices. And you could tell Vrabel wasn't happy about it. One text says, I don't disagree with fearing that Callahan can't put a foot up someone's rear end, but I remember the famous clip of him yelling at Levis, what the F are you doing? Does that indicate that he's got a little bit of that in him? Well, I would say this. You know, number one, Brian Callahan had told Will Levis before the Chicago debacle, whatever you do, don't turn the ball over. And then Levis didn't listen to him. And then the next week, on the first or second drive of the game, he rolls the ball on the ground. And that's what led to that outburst. And Callahan, basically the next day, regretted the fact that we all saw him get on Levis's ass because he doesn't want people to think that that's their relationship. And I'll never forget, John Glennon asked the question in the press conference about, do you now as a head coach have to be more aware of where the cameras are? And Callahan was like, yes. And I thought to myself sitting there, I'm like, he doesn't need to be more aware. I mean, he just go coach. And Paul asked, why do you have to be more aware? And you just tell a guy not to do something, don't do it. Well, you know, I love Will hard and I coach him hard, but okay. The apology, it felt like, for that takes away from any of him just yelling at him on the sideline. And also, what did he do to Levis? Did he bench him? The next week, he threw a pick six against Green Bay. He bench him? He do anything? No, he got up there and told us all how great Jair Alexander was, even though the Titans had no interest in Jair Alexander, who was just a free agent last week. Not saying that they should have had interest in Jair Alexander. I'm just saying if he's as good as Callahan made him out to be after Levis threw him a touchdown last year, then maybe, you know, you should have at least had a little interest. Greg in Clarksville says, Callahan's done after this year. You won't have to worry about him. That is true. I mean, right now, I think I said it at like minus 300 last week that Callahan will not be the coach. Somebody said that that was 72%. I feel pretty good about that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. It is a big week for the Nashville Predators. Again, on Friday, they have the fifth pick in the draft. And this week is where you see a lot of movement as far as the NHL is concerned. And we're already starting to see a lot of it now. I do have a massive question, though, which we'll get to next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.